Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is AJ and Dusty.
All right, listen up. I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
With AJ McCord.
That beer's getting better, I admit that. But you're still weak on the left side.
And Dusty Hera.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard spotted underwear, bikini style, sir.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What kind of power?
December 2021, Dusty Hera. No AJ McCord. Will Darkins here, though. What's up, Darkins? How you doing, bruh?
What's going on?
Oh, you know.
What's going on over there?
Same old, same old.
What are you doing in that room?
Huh? Radioing.
What are you doing on that computer?
Radioing, doing the toughest job in America.
What are you typing? Wait. Toughest job?
Wait. Yeah. Did you hear what Mark Emmert said today? President of the NCAA?
Something about... being the president of a university is really tough, super hard.
Yeah. He's going all in on what the hardest job in America is. So, I mean, as long as if the president of the NCAA can throw, you know, a hat into the ring, I'll just go ahead and slide this one in as, yeah, it's the toughest job in America doing radio, you know?
Well, it's pretty hard. I mean, I've seen the kind of prep you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you get in your car, you drive here, you go to your desk, you sit down.
That's right.
And then,
that's
like,
about all I do.
And about an hour and a half later, you sit down again, and then you talk for 3 hours.
That's true.
That's pretty tough.
Yeah. No, it is not. not at all. Not even in the slightest.
Okay, look, to be fair, it's probably a pretty hard job.
What?
Being a university president.
Yeah, that's what he said, Mark Emmert.
No, it's pretty tough.
Yeah. I would definitely not put it anywhere close to toughest or hardest jobs in America.
Like a logger?
You know what? I don't know if university president cracks the top 30? Ooh. You know what? I'll Casey Kasem this son of a bee. I won't even say it's in the top 40. Casey Kasem in the weekend, top 40. Not even going to be the top 40 job, toughest jobs in America.
This is Casey Kasem. Counting down the top 10 most dangerous jobs,
you know,
ever had.
There was something to, like, I remember being a kid and driving to, whether it was like church or somewhere on a Sunday, and listening to the Casey Kasem top 40. And it always seemed like the biggest part of his day was to read your letter that you sent in to Casey Kasem.
Hell yes. And I am not going to lie that I wrote some letters in there.
You did. You wrote letters to Casey Kasem?
Of course I did, dude. That was like, that was probably the very beginnings for me of loving radio, loving this medium. Like, that was the very beginnings. And then listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Loveline was like solidified for me. Like, I love radio. Yeah. I definitely want to be a part of it at some point.
Loveline was great.
Yes. It was incredible.
Like, you had no idea whether or not, like, is this real? But it was all real. It was like, it became my pro wrestling. It was real to me.
Yes.
It's real to me.
Well, not only that, but like, you don't realize that Adam Carolla, one of my favorite parts of Loveline was that Adam Carolla worked extensively before he got into radio as a contractor in construction.
Yeah.
And he was actually really friggin' good at it. Like, better than you would assume somebody just taking odd jobs would be. So one time I remember they brought in some guy from some home rebuilding show, and Dr. Drew did a quiz of giving them a situation of like how you would like renovate something. And he just like Carolla just yammed on the dude, like knew everything about like, oh, well, are you going to do this, this and this? And the guy was left speechless. And it was just so awesome. Like that kind of show on the radio. I miss that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was great. Was it? Gosh, what was the guy's name? He was like, even later in the night, you would get into like Tom Likas.
I don't know Tom Likas.
Oh, he would do even like you would get the longer you listened to radio, the weirder it got. And that was like it just you get into bizarre world. And then you finally hit like the overnights where there's a guy who does like the tinfoil hat conspiracy alien stuff. And I think he's local even.
Yeah, actually, I have a buddy who produced this show for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't recall his name right now. The person.
That stuff is wild, though.
Yeah, he loved working on that show, though. he said it was one of the better times that he's ever had because it was really just like when it came to like a show meeting or brainstorming, anything went. There was no bad ideas. Like, you've probably been in rooms before where like you got to walk on eggshells about like how you want to like present an idea. He's like, no, man, I just throw anything out there. I could throw a fake idea out, and he would grab onto it. Let's go.
Let's go see how weird it can get.
Yes.
Wow, that's bizarre.
Bill Cosby, undercover alien for half a decade. True or false? That kind of stuff.
I mean, I think you just get canceled immediately right now for just bringing up Bill Cosby anymore.
No. I don't think so.
Undercover alien.
Is this working? Hello?
Oh, man. Well, 503-250-1080. Long distance dedications. Yes. Mm. That was the very first Craigslist misconnections. And like just throwing out like, you know, that couple that just puts everything on Facebook.
Yes.
The I love you gushing Facebook post. Mm-hmm. That was the very first long distance dedications. I would love it if like you gave like Mark Zuckerberg or the Winklevoss twins their truth serum and be like, actually, we were listening to Casey Kasem and the long distance dedications. And we were like, you know what? You know, we should just put up an internet site where you can just post all that stuff right there.
Yeah.
It's all right there.
But see, like that medium, I remember that too. And that medium was so much more like genuine because you can bring up a good point about the couple's Facebook posts. And there are a few couples that I know where my wife and I know them personally and their marriage isn't going well, but online, boy, they're really happy. And it takes everything in me every time I see one of those posts not to go in the comments and be like, well, that's not what you said about him when we were talking about it on this time. Like, I feel bad, but at the same time, I feel like that's flooded on every social media thing I do. It's just people like telling, like trying so hard to convince you of the fact that like their marriage is good. Please believe me.
Right. Right. Yeah, that is true. Yes. That couple where it's like, wait, no, if we go out, it's going to be a train wreck. And we have conversations that do we really want to go out then? Cause they're going to get into a fight tonight.
Mm.
You can't be that. It's not all hungry, but hey, it's on Facebook wall, so you know it's official.
Yeah.
Well. That's the reconciliation right there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How'd we get there? I have no idea how we got there.
Somebody, text line 503-250-1080. Yeah. They said Dr. Demerol, anyone?
Dr. Demerol?
Or Dr. Demento. Demento. That's it.
Dr. Demento.
Why did I say Demerol?
There is Art Bell is the old school conspiracy theory guy. That sounds familiar. I'm not quite sure if that's him. I think it is. He's the coast-to-coast guy. Yeah, that might be him.
I'm looking at pictures of him right now, and that checks out.
Yeah, a lot of pictures of him smoking cigarettes. And not like actually never actively smoking a cigarette, holding a cigarette.
Yes.
Which is in like the backlighting.
Yeah.
Which I think we should get some of those photos done. Like yeah. The next round of fan staff photos, Will Darkins, that you take with your camera. Mm. Everybody wears black turtlenecks. You have that backlighting, that shadow lighting on our face, and we'll all just be holding a cigarette, not smoking it, but just holding it lit.
Yeah, I would 100% be with that. It's all art. Of us just holding cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead, by the way.
Dead or alive, dead.
Super dead.
Okay.
Also, why is it that every RIP. Conspiracy
How about
theorist...
we go RIP?
Rest in peace. Okay. Why is it that every conspiracy theorist that I ever see, like, they all fit the same bill of, like overweight white guy with glasses in his 40s or 50s. Is that wrong?
Huh.
Am I right on that? Am I close?
Yeah.
Because I've looked up like 5 prominent ones and it's all the same thing.
I don't know.
Overweight white guy in his late 40s.
Hold on. Like, okay. Maybe that's just the, you know, the look of conspiracy. Like if you were to look up like sports radio guy, it's a bunch of dudes in jerseys looking all... You know,
that's
jumpy bod. You know, like they can just go ahead and Google some like sports radio guy, and you're gonna see like a bunch of jerseys, and you know, I think that maybe some Oakley blades are gonna be worn in the photos. Like, there is a look. There's a look. It attracts your audience. You know your audience.
Well, especially the promotional photos, which I feel bad because we had to do the photos separately this time around for the fan because of COVID. So then I had to work some very just insane mastery to just put 2 people in the same photo. But I really wanted the back-to-back photos because that is the ultimate in sports radio photos, which is that you guys put your backs against each other and you look at the camera with your arms crossed saying like, we know better than you.
Yeah. That has been the go-to for decades in the sports radio world, and the fan was no different. We've had a lot of back-to-back photo shoots here at 1080 The Fan.
Now, what's the one that everybody talks about with Rob?
Rob had a soul patch in the early 2000s photo shoots.
Let me take a look at that.
It was a good look. Suk had hair in his.
I do remember Suk with his hair. Let me see here. Trying to find Isaac Rop on Google here.
All right.
Yeah, there's the soul patch.
There it is. 503-250-1080. All right. Conspiracy Theory Radio. You ready? Oh, today, Will Darkins has requested one thing on today's program. And I didn't even mean to get here as we were talking about Art Bell. Is that conspiracy theory? Will Darkins said, I said, what do you want to talk about today? And he said, I would like a segment and a half to talk about conspiracy theories.
Mm. I was saying that more joking. I didn't want to like really bring it up.
No, I'm here for it. So Darkins, you will have Will Darkins Conspiracy Corner here at some point today.
Okay, I will make it sports themed. How's that?
I don't care what it is, Darkins.
Well, we don't want to get too far.
Entertain the masses.
Look, man, there's some crazy ideas I got that are not safe for air.
Oh, I know. I know. And I want to go there with you. All right. We will have a lot of sports, though, including there is a conversation to be had about Mark Emmert's, the university president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, saying, hey, university pres, hardest job in America. That is wild. We'll have that. Trista Crick will join us. She is our BetMGM tonight. BetQL Network insider. Jake Fisher is going to join, or she will join us at 1:30. Jake Fisher, Bleacher Report NBA writer. He had a pretty long piece about the Portland Trailblazers and their current status as looking for a GM and what it all means for the hometown team. He's going to join us at 12:30 to discuss what he put on the internet and what it could mean for Portland. I mean, this is a time of flux, big changes. We were talking about this yesterday. Big changes are coming down the pipeline. We had the Quick article and the Woj piece yesterday. And then a little bit later is when Fishers came out on Bleacher Report, and all of them are revolving around the Blazers and three different angles that get to the same point. Something big is on the horizon. there's more than just a little bit of smoke around the Blazers organization. There's like a fire that you're starting to see. And is it going to start blazing? And are we all going to kind of see these big changes really come to fruition now?
I have put out a social post on the 1080 The Fan Twitter that has caused a little bit of a ruckus.
All right.
That I didn't really mean it to be this, but everybody is scoffing at. Okay. I put out the question, has this moment, this time, this period, been the most turbulent time for you, Dusty, you individual I'm speaking with, as a Trailblazers fan?
No.
Not even close?
No.
Was it the Jailblazers?
Yeah.
Really?
It was. It was.
See, I find that interesting because I'm getting a lot of those responses, but I just remember during the Jailblazers, I was more apathetic.
No. But I think we saw it coming in that how close they got in the early 2000s and then how quickly it just fell apart and devolved into what it became, which was a team that the city of Portland they were embarrassed by. Like the city of Portland became embarrassed by the Trailblazers. And that's something that we just haven't seen yet. I think right now it turned to apathy. And then it took, you know, Brandon Roy and LaMarcus Aldridge to kind of pull the Blazers out of it. But I think right now we skip the team is embarrassing to maybe apathy is setting in. Look at the stands at home games, you know, look at the just overall conversation around the team. It's not, oh my gosh, what is going on? It is something needs to change, and something needs to change in a hurry, which is it's more on the level with a traditional arc of how a team gets close, doesn't succeed, and then, all right, it's time for big changes. The Jailblazers were gets close, almost there, and then, oh my God, what is happening? It wasn't like an arc. It was like a left turn at Albuquerque. And then it was, okay, we're going to get this thing back on the rails and go back down. And then apathy set in.
See, I think that was probably the part for me where, at least as a fan at that time, you kind of thought, okay, well, Paul Allen's still alive. And he's still the owner. And it looks like
he still cares.
And it looks like he cares. It looks like he's trying to do some stuff here. I think what makes this time so just dispiriting is the fact that the owner clearly doesn't care anymore. And in fact, it sure looks like she's setting up to sell, and there's no GM, and everybody keeps getting hurt. And now there's like very strong rumors that your greatest player in franchise history is going to leave. Yeah. And dude, if he leaves via forced trade, like you don't dig out of that in 3 years.
No.
Like, that's an Orlando Magic rebuild right there if he leaves.
Yeah, well, you could be staring down that barrel. But that's what Jake Fisher is going to be on Bleacher Report at 12:30. We'll ask him about that because he has a little nugget on a potential timeline of everything kind of happening. So we will talk with Jake Fisher coming up in about 12 minutes from now. But, hey, how about coming up next? Do we want some good news for Blazer fans? Let's get some good news for Blazer fans. 503-250-1080 is the fan text line. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Watch step, kid. 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 I smoke all the mic like like smoking so crazy.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Like troops in Pakistan, swinging through your town like your neighborhood Spider-Man. So all tick tock and keep ticking.
Okay, how about a little bit of good news for the Portland Trail Blazers? Because everything seems to be on the negatory, except for Friday's news. You know, a lot of fans reveled in a new GM and kind of the optimism that would come with new management. There's been a lot of uncertainty surrounding the Blazers, and injuries have just been brutal to this team this year. Yesterday, we found out that CJ McCollum has a collapsed lung, which that's just, you know, he had a rib contusion that held him out, and everybody's like, ooh, like that's a tough one. And you find out a dude has a collapsed lung. That's brutal, man. And the timeline for that, by the way, I was reading In Street Clothes website that breaks down NBA injuries. About 6 to
it's a great website,
isn't it a great name? Yeah. 6 to 7. There's not a whole heck of a lot of previous injuries and comps where you can go collapsed a lung in the NBA, but you have actually two guys with ties to Portland. Both Gerald Wallace back in 08-09 missed 7 games. He had to go to the hospital and he missed 7 games. And then Terrence Jones, when he was at the Rockets, he had a collapsed lung and he was out 6 games. The Jefferson High School product.
I don't remember that about Wallace. Interesting.
Yeah. And it said 08-09. Yeah. So there you're looking at, it will be some time for CJ, but some good news for the Blazers that are banged up is that Chris Haynes' report that Damian Lillard could be back as soon as this weekend.
Hey, there you go.
He's gotten treatment. He's responding very well to it. And if things stay on pace, he could be back for this weekend's games, which, I mean, it goes without saying, like, this team is so different. And that's why, you know, yesterday we didn't spend a whole heck of a lot of time on it. But on Monday night, you actually saw a great fight from this Blazers team. Void of stars, right? Yeah. I mean, you think of scoring options, and the biggest one that they had available to them was Norman Powell, because you even took your punch. And Nurk had a great game scoring, but you know, CJ, no Dame, no Ant because of the ankle, and you're going, all right, where's this pop going to come from? And Norm looked fantastic in that game, playing his natural position and looking like a comfortable two guard. And without Dame and CJ, though, where does the offensive punch come from? And that's why it was a good fight that they gave Monday night against the Clips, but obviously they fell short, and that's been the story of the season with or without Dame. But Dame coming back as soon as this weekend, that is huge news for this team, because they reevaluated in 10 days. That's always one of those dicey things.
Well, and you talked about the fight that they had against the Clippers, and I think that's what Chauncey Billups has been just rattling the cage about this entire season. And in fact, I think he had that quote where he said, it's not right that, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not right that guys off the bench are looking more pumped up than the starters. That he had said something to that effect at one point in the season. And I mean, you've seen that from the bench guys. You've seen that from Ben McLemore at one time. You saw it from Larry Nance Jr., who, for whatever reason, has become like the heartbeat of the team.
Well,
which,
I call that game one? Like, Larry Nance Jr. is going to be that guy that people just fall in love with. If wins start racking up for this team, Larry Nance Jr., and when people start following and get back engaged in loving this team again, that is going to be a guy that everybody rallies around.
And it's great to have him come off the bench like that in that role, but Nance Jr. shouldn't be your galvanizing force. You know what I'm saying? Like, he shouldn't be the equivalent of what Draymond Green is for the Golden State Warriors at times, which is this energetic ball just like on the court all the time, given 100%, is that talented. Larry Nance isn't that talented. He's a spark off the bench, and that's fine.
I love
that.
But
it's dudes like Yusuf Nurkic. It's dudes like Robert Covington, like Damian Lillard, of course, who should be in the starting five bringing that energy every single time. And I think Billups makes a great point, is that you're just not seeing it yet. But you did see it with the Clippers.
And it will take time. It will take time. And the biggest thing is it takes buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have guys buy in, and that's why our next guest will hop in, and he can fill in the blanks on a lot of these questions, because you mentioned Nurk. Robert Covington is also another one where the buy-in has been questioned by people on the outside, and have they fallen out of favor with the Portland Trail Blazers? could we see some big moves coming? Jake Fisher wrote a very thorough piece for Bleacher Report, was posted yesterday. He's going to join us after Will with SportsCenter.
I'm going atomically. Socrates, philosophies, and hypotheses. Can't define how I be dropping these mockeries. Lyrically perform on robbery.
This with the is lottery. AJ and possibly Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Posted yesterday to Bleacher Report. Was a very thorough kind of rundown of what's going on in Rip City. Looking for a new GM, a roster in flux under a new head coach. And the scribe who penned it is Jake Fisher from Bleacher Report, NBA writer. Kind enough to join us now. How you doing, man? Thanks for taking a few minutes for us.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Look, there's a lot to unpack in your piece about the Portland Trailblazers. And, you know, I think first and foremost, like with everything that we've been hearing around this organization, dating back to last summer, it is unrest with Damian Lillard, and the kind of the rumors and the rumblings continue to grow surrounding Damian Lillard in Portland. No matter what he says publicly, there seems to be this sense that behind closed doors in the NBA, he may want a trade sometime soon. What is the sense that you're getting about Damian Lillard's uneasiness with the stability here in Portland?
You know, I think anytime there's a change of leadership at the top of an organization, and not with a coaching change, right? Like we saw with Chauncey Billups coming into power here on the day-to-day level of, you know, the coaching side of things in Portland. When there's an executive vacancy, someone who's going to have the direct ear of the owner and kind of make all the calls, it's not uncommon around the league to see a lot of actors in the situation try to come to the surface and use that opening to kind of wrangle influence over the way the franchise moves forward. And the way we're at, the overall state of the league right now, typically star players, you know, look at LeBron in Los Angeles and Giannis in Milwaukee and, you know, Kevin Durant in Brooklyn, you know, Dame's in that category. And I think, you know, we saw Bradley Beal talk about it, and he flirted with leaving Washington this summer. Even if Dame is committed to leaving or to staying in Portland and he wants to sign the Supermax extension that he's eligible for this summer, what seems to be people in his camp and the language he's using when he talks to Portland executives himself, you know, they're trying to leverage their rightful power, I think, that they see him and what kind of the general NBA ecosystem is right now, to put pressure on ownership and the front office to surround him with contending talent to try to win a championship, because he does want to be in Portland, but I think he recognizes that it's probably more likely for him to contend for that ring somewhere else, just based off of the overall structure of the team's cap sheet and the nature of the market that they're in.
You know, one of the things that you talk about with ownership and being here for long term, and kind of in your article, you slid it right in there, is that there is this feeling and this sense around league insiders that the Blazers will come for sale after the next TV deal gets finalized in 2025. With all of that, in that idea around league insiders, is it a coveted GM job then, knowing that there could be ownership change in 4 years?
I wouldn't necessarily say this is a coveted job, or like, you know, the top tier. Like when the Knicks job opened up, pretty much everyone in the league who'd ever remotely been affiliated with the East Coast was kind of showing interest in, I can be the guy that can lead the Knicks back to prominence. You know, there's definitely a lot of people who want this job. Like we talked about, the top, there's only 30 jobs available. Yeah. And the opportunity to get one of those jobs that has one of the top, you know, 5 to 12 players in the league, like, that's a very promising opportunity. But the market is what it is. And I do think that one big characteristic of Neil Olshay's tenure in Portland was that he kind of governed everything with an iron fist and had pretty total carte blanche and autonomy to do as he pleased. If that's something that is going to be capable of existing again under this ownership group, you know, I do think that's something that would be appealing to, you know, top-tier executives and the candidates that are being floated out as potential, or the names that are being floated as potential candidates are pretty significant names. But I do think that anyone taking that job would be wary of the fact that a lot of people I've talked to in the league think that the best option for Portland moving forward is to trade Damian Lillard regardless of his wishes and start a rebuild, being that he's 31 and has been dealing with an injury, you know, problem here. And also, you know, if he were to request a trade at any given point in time, you're going to be even further away from getting back to contention than when you would be if you were to decide to pull the plug yourselves right now.
So that's kind of where I get a little bit confused about this, because there was a report yesterday from, I think it was Woj, saying that, you know, most of the interest from the GM candidates for this position come from a perspective of saying, I would like to deal Damian Lillard. That would be more, you know, advantageous for me if I came in as a GM. What I don't understand about that move is then what is the appeal of that job after getting Damian Lillard out of town, where it's been historically noted it's very difficult to bring free agents in just because of the income tax and, you know, the other type of teams you could go to in terms of their markets? Like, what is the actual appeal of the job then if you just want to get rid of Damian Lillard right off the bat?
I think it's to start, like I just wrote a book that came out in May about rebuilding in the league, and you know, really highlighted Sam Hinkie's tanking process in Philadelphia, but also Boston and Phoenix and Orlando and Cleveland and Minnesota, who were all kind of trying to rebuild at the same time. And, you know, not every rebuild starts from the same starting point. And it's very advantageous to do so by moving a multi-time All-NBA player, multi-time All-Star like Damian Lillard, to get back a piece like a Ben Simmons in return, or whichever, you know, player would become that blue chip prospect coming back. It's a whole lot easier to start from that starting point rather than really having a barren cupboard and having to draft those guys on your own. I mean, look at Houston right now. They obviously are on a 6-game win streak, but when they started off 1-15, you know, they got a lot of criticism for their package for James Harden, not really leaving them with anybody back in return. It helped them get poor enough to get the number two pick to draft Jalen Green, but it would have been nice to pair Jalen Green with somebody like, let's say, Ben Simmons, to bring that name up again, who definitely was on the table back for Houston when they traded James Harden to Brooklyn. If they made that move in Philly instead, Ben Simmons would be a Rocket right now. So I think that's kind of what it all stems from. And every executive is also looking out for their job security. And if you can get ahead of it and go into a rebuild right from the get-go, it's an unstable future, but it gives you a more direct path as an executive for, you know, 3-4 years rather than taking a job and always being concerned that Damian Lillard is going to request a trade.
We're talking with Jake Fisher, Bleacher Report NBA writer. Also, you mentioned your book, Built to Lose, out now for Triumph Books on tanking in the NBA. You mentioned that Neil O'Shea, he kind of ruled it that iron fist and he had carte blanche over the organization. What's the sense that you're getting? Because it's pretty unclear out here right now on the leeway that Joe Cronin, the interim GM, has to make roster moves and kind of, you know, adjust this roster as he sees fit.
You know, it sounds like he will have an opportunity to act as his GM and to win this job outright moving forward too, and have that interim title be removed from his position. Same thing with Sachin Gupta up in Minnesota. And I think, you know, Burke Holdy, who has been around, he's kind of Paul Allen's right-hand man in that ownership group. He's overseen a lot of GM searches in the past. I think they're going to make a lot of moves here. Maybe not with Damon. I mean, most likely not with Damon in the near future. I think that's going to be the one thing he doesn't have the ability to do here. But moving CJ McCollum, moving Robert Covington, moving Jusuf Nurkic, I wouldn't be surprised, especially given that there's been interim GMs in the past in Portland, like Chad Buchanan, who made that move with Gerald Wallace to get that number six pick back that ended up becoming Damian Lillard in the first place. Mm-hmm. We've seen interim executives in Portland have that ability to do so in the past. So I think if the right deal comes along, I think we're going to see a lot of activity here for the Trailblazers.
You know, as a guy who covers the league and you're dialed in, especially, you know, on the East Coast too, what is Neil O'Shea's reputation around the NBA?
I mean, he's definitely known to be someone who can be a bit brash and a bit arrogant. And I think that was reflected in his press conferences from this summer. I mean, I've never personally met with Neil O'Shea. I don't want to speak too much of his character, but he's got the reputation like that around the NBA, that someone who thinks he knew what he was doing, and he surrounded himself in his front office with a lot of his guys, people who wouldn't necessarily question his authority and who would be happy knowing that, or would be happy for him to kind of conduct trade calls on his own and negotiations on his own and report back to the group afterwards. So that's definitely the reputation he had. And when the investigation got announced, and a lot of people on the league who said that also think that he probably has been fired unfairly here, and they're concerned about what this could set as a precedent for themselves moving forward. But people weren't exactly surprised what they were looking at, and that, you know, his general tenor and behavior allowed for this opening to happen for the ownership group to hire some external investigation to essentially force him out with cause.
All right, now, like, we got to get to your heartstrings here. I'm assuming on your Twitter bio says you're in New York City, but via Philly. So, a Philly guy. I'm assuming you grew up a Sixers fan. Is that a fair assumption?
I did grow up a Sixers fan, but my allegiance has definitely dissipated as I've become a professional.
Can I get the Philly guy in you to talk, not the reporter, on the potential of a Ben Simmons trade? Will a Ben Simmons trade, will that just be a reset enough, a new city? Will that be enough to kind of change the concerns that people have? Because, I mean, if we're talking about like a potential trade out here for Portland, nobody wants to give up Dame for Ben Simmons. But if it was CJ and putting a package together to get Ben Simmons out here, do you think that would just a new city would be a reset enough to get him back on track?
I hope it is. I mean, he was a number one pick for a reason, and he's a 25-year-old multi-time All-Star who just was runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year. Like, people around him say all he really is just looking for a fresh start, and I think it seems like something that he really does need. But to put the reporter hat back on, like, it's not going to happen for CJ McCollum. That's just the sentiment I've gotten from Philadelphia people I've talked to. Executives that I've spoken to there who have their fingers on the button, let's say, they've all pretty much maintained, A, like, trading Ben Simmons to Portland to help Damian Lillard become available doesn't benefit, or to help Damian Lillard not become available doesn't help Philadelphia. And I don't think they think CJ McCollum, especially now with the emergence of Tyrese Maxey, I don't think they think he really moves the needle for their championship window around Joel Embiid right now anyway.
Perfect. Jake Fisher, follow him on Twitter at Jake L. Fisher. His book is out, Built to Lose, and find his work at Bleacher Report. Has a really good piece up posted yesterday about the Portland Trailblazers in the uncertain future. Thank you for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
Some nuggets there. One, the league executives and people around the NBA and that feeling that the best way to build forward with Portland is to move on from Damian Lillard. That is a sentiment that we're starting to see a little bit more time and time again because of being 31 usage and what it's going to take to get him here. The roster is the problem around him. They wouldn't be saying that if the roster was that close. But big moves need to be made. And I think that the interesting part about this is also when you talk about the Joe Cronin and his ability to make moves, he will be able to make roster moves, not a Lillard-esque move, but make moves akin to what Chad Buchanan did as the interim GM that brought Gerald Wallace here and eventually Damian Lillard, because that pick, the Gerald Wallace trade, brought the sixth pick. And that's something that you really want to keep an eye on. And I saw Sean Hyken tweeted out yesterday that there will be a press conference with Joe Cronin and Chauncey Billups tomorrow. Interesting.
Okay. When I see it, I'll believe it.
Yep.
That's kind of, you know, and I think that too kind of speaks back to, I'm sorry, I know we're over it, but
we're good.
The kind of like I think that kind of speaks to where I'm at, like, headspace wise. And I think a lot of fans are like that too, where it's like, this is a very unique time for Trailblazers fans because really the hope is pretty low.
You think?
Like, it's not even like you can do a complete blow up at this point, because the NBA landscape has changed so much to the point that, like, being a market we're in right now, it's not like the Houston Rockets, like Jake said, where you can, like, go all in and have this massive budget and be in this massive market and be able to rebuild again within 2 to 3 years or whatever. You're in a small market.
Yep.
And if you're going to do a complete blow up and everything else, it's like I said before, you're essentially the Orlando Magic at that point. I mean, there's nothing really appealing about coming here as a free agent other than the fact that you could bomb enough to get into the draft and then get lucky again.
That's the thing, is that it will never be the free agents. Just like this iteration was born, it was drafting and trading.
Yep.
That's how you build. And that's how you found good role players. You find good role players in free agency by overpaying them because they're role players.
Yep.
And that wasn't the problem. Like, that's why you look at the salaries that have hamstrung this franchise for the last decade.
Whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me it was a bad idea to pay Myers Leonard?
Yes, but more so Evan Turner's contract. That seemed to be a bit of an albatross. Maurice Harkless.
I remember that one.
Yeah. 4 years and $10 million. Yeah, there have been a few, man. There have been a few.
Even CJ McCollum's kind of up there.
Yeah. I would say a guy making $30 million that hasn't won an all-star or made it to an all-star game, yes. I think that one is kind of, when you say kind of up there,
it's up there.
I agree. But he is also a really damn good player, where if he was in the Eastern Conference, CJ would be an all-star.
Yeah.
He would be. All right, 503-250-1080, your feedback next. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Hardcore, we're giving you more and more. Like Ding, not sure to get you open like six packs. Killer bees, exact, flipping what? Murder on fat tracks. I kick it like a night flight.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
I rock your head to back, just like rocking what? Twin clock, shake the ground while my beats just break it down.
503-250-1080 is the Fan text line. We usually do panic or patience, but we wouldn't even have time for this. We wanted to get Jake Fisher on today, Bleacher Report NBA writer. We're going to have to bump panic or patience. We got college football and NFL questions coming your way. But it was pretty interesting to hear from Jake Fisher on the ideas and the sounds coming from around the NBA about Damian Lillard and what the Portland Trailblazers do moving forward. And you always have to wonder, and I always go back to this, in that would these questions be asked if the Blazers didn't make a bigger move earlier? But before right now, like, you just sit there and you wait and wait and wait and you're like, it's too late, right? If the Blazers were to strike where the iron was hot and make moves that change the organization's trajectory 2 years ago, 3 years ago, heck, 4 months ago, right? This past off season, and you go, okay, make a big swing and see where you're at. The big swing isn't giving up three draft picks in a row for Robert Covington and Larry Nance, right?
I mean, it was a big swing.
Huh?
It was a miss.
I don't even think it was.
Wasn't it?
No. I think
three draft picks is a lot.
I think it was a check swing, strike three. And we missed on the check swing. Like, we went, like, they appealed to first base and was like, nope, out. Still out. Those aren't big moves. Like, and we're talking like CJ type moves.
Yeah.
Like, that is in making that move. And that, again, like, I love it how it turns into like, because that gets floated out there, you're dumping on a guy. Well, no, like, CJ has value, and they didn't want to trade the guy who had value that could bring value in return and make it worth draft picks in addition to a CJ, and bring in a legitimate all-star with size that can defend. That ship has sailed.
I suppose. I don't know. You had that question, right? Like, what would have happened if they had made this move earlier? I would contest Neil Olshay would still have a job.
You're damn right.
If Neil Olshay would have done everything possible to either get Ben Simmons or get Pascal Siakam, because that was the other very strong rumor in the offseason that there was like a CJ and I think like two picks for Pascal Siakam. I think if he would have done that, obviously the team would be doing a little bit better under a Chauncey Billups-led coaching that's more defensive oriented.
Yes.
And Neil Olshay would probably still have a job and we would quit talking smack about him because we would finally go, look, Neil, you finally did it. You swung big and things seem to be working right now. But like, that's what's so interesting about all this. All it took was doing that one big move to save your job and call it a catch 22. The very thing that he didn't want to do, right? Neil Olshay is known as job retention guy. It's like, look, I don't want to do anything that's just going to rock the boat too much that I lose my job. But at the end of the day, his conservative nature in going after free agents and going after trades is the thing that was his downfall. Now, it took 10 years, but it was his downfall.
Mm. Yeah.
It's weird. It's very weird.
And we had a really good text come in at 503-250-1080. When we were talking about bad contracts, don't forget Alan Crabb. And that's a great text.
Yes.
Because Brooklyn bailed Portland out so greatly.
Yes.
By taking on Alan Crabb. Like, I still don't get it.
Wasn't it that Russian guy owning him? What was that?
Yeah.
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 I remember that.
Mikhail Prokhorov.
That's right. Yes. I always am a fan of people who know absolutely nothing about sports, like inserting themselves into being an owner. Like, not like Jody Allen, where it just kind of happened upon her. Like, that guy with the Nets who, like, just thought.
A Russian oligarch?
Yeah. Who was like, that sounds like fun. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And then he gets fleeced by buying an Alan Crabb contract.
Super sexy fun time owning the NBA team in New York City.
Like his last name, Crabb. Club. Interesting.
All right.
Sales tickets.
We'll talk some betting coming up next hour. What is the hardest job in America? Text us at 503-250-1080. But coming up next, the bar is rising in college football. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.